Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Mark Crisco, Deputy Director of Enterprise Information within the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. So, Mark, perhaps you could share with us some of the key success stories as a result of the work you've done in making acquisition visibility a viable environment. Are there any other related pursuits that have borne fruit?
Well, I think there are three things that we've accomplished that I think have been are pretty much foundational and significant for the department. One is in the data management area. One, and as I've said earlier, working across the Army, Navy, and Air Force, they've been very supportive of our efforts. We intend to publish the acquisition visibility data matrix later this year, promulgate that in policy so we can find our pivot point of what information we're going to control. So I think that's a key to the data slash information management perspective of this. Another success story that we had, the undersecretary, the assistant secretary for defense acquisition, Ms. McFarland, asked us to work on different views for her. She wanted to look at the data based upon industries, based upon portfolios. She asked us to create a selected acquisition watch list. Well, with our partners, the Defense Acquisition Management Information Retrieval System, we were able to build views for her in less than 6 weeks for her to better analyze the data. So turn data into information with only a few small aspects of that, but do it rather quickly, assist her in making the decisions, and assist the department and working with the department to use that information. A third and a very important aspect that we launched about 6 or 7 months ago into full production, we have the Acquisition Information Repository. Working with the Defense Technical Information Center, based upon their wiki strategy of managing data, we were able to acquire and put all of our acquisition documents that support the acquisition decisions in those wikis. Now, we just started from the programs as they're going through decisions. We did not go back to the beginning of time because that would have been a pretty extensive proposition. But this is already bearing fruit now that we have in one location information that we can use as a part of the decision-making process and information we could start to analyze about, are we using that? Was it meaningful when we pulled that information together? So creating a horizontal look. That, too, was built in about 6 months to fully deployment, and it's up and operating today.
So, Mark, you identified some of the challenges to acquisition visibility within DoD, and then you highlighted some of the success stories. What lessons have you learned from this effort?
The first lesson I always like to say, it's not just about technical data management. You really have to have the subject matter experts steward the data and information, understanding the behaviors of why it is. I'd mentioned this earlier, too. One of the lessons learned, ask the simple questions. They're sometimes the hardest to answer. What are you trying to achieve? What do you want to see? And what data do you need to help you see that? Because it's very easy to work across the perspective and say, I need this data, but without a structured approach for understanding that, it's difficult to ascertain because you have multitudes of sources. And I think the third thing is collaboration. And this is where the acquisition visibility data matrix will help us. When they answer those three simple questions, we can look and say, do we have that data? Does it mean that? Or should we be asking for more data? Is the value? We just do not chase data on an individual basis, but we chase it as a complete construct of providing the information. The lessons learned are you must be diligent pursuing these passions. It's easy, just give me the data. We'll figure it out when we get here. I think we need to structure our discussions in some structured fashion for us to move forward.
Mark, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the matrix. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
We started this a few years ago on the acquisition visibility data matrix, where we quite simply wanted to understand a couple things. One, what data do you want? Two, who owns that definition? And three, where is the authoritative source of that information? So that sounds very easy. It sounds like it could be done in about 15 minutes. What we've found is identifying those who own it. Many would lay claim to that. We were struck by a very particular lens, though. We looked at it from the lens of acquisition. So we looked within our own acquisition community for stewards of that data and those definitions, because we wanted to be unambiguous with the services and components, those using the data, those providing the data, to make sure that they understood what exactly it was going to mean. So we wouldn't have discussions, well, I thought it meant this. I thought you were going to use it this way. We offer that degree of clarity. And we set a very low bar working with our services, as I said, in terms of saying, where should we get the authoritative source? Not to delve into their prerogatives and organizations and tell them where we were going to get it from, but know exactly where the authoritative source is. I could think of a few examples of that case. We hold the acquisition program baselines for all the programs in the department within our system. I know that authoritative definition, what it is, and I know where it is, and that's in the Defense Acquisition Management Information Retrieval System. I also know with a colleague of the Performance Assessment and Root Cause Analysis Organization that earned value management data is in the earned value management central repository. We know where the authoritative information is. We know who would define those terms. We can create a bit of unambiguous behaviors in the department by having that degree of clarity. And that's why I think clarity is important. We have about 200 or 300 definitions and working with them. The most difficult thing about coordinating it, sometimes people just think of it as a system definition. And I said, no, it is really about organizational defining what it is. The systems will adapt. Let's understand what our authoritative definitions are, and we can work through the transition planning aspects as they might be.
The devil's always in the details, but I'd like to discuss the next steps for the acquisition visibility effort. What are your plans to expand the use and functionality of AV's capabilities within DoD? And more importantly, to what extent is the AV a model for future federation and integration of numerous data sources?
Well, I'd like to think that we were there to be a model. I think we're learning how to be a model. I think my number one objective is it's never expand. I think about it as I want to be measured on how well are we supporting the undersecretary in his better buying power initiatives. Are we providing value to his decision making? Are we providing analysis? We contemplated this long and hard and thought about it as an inside out strategy. No one tells me what apps to use on my personal device. People know which ones are good. We desire to be good in providing them the information they need and the authoritative source of. So we measure, while we measure our successes, many people typically do. How many users do you have? Are they accessing it? The question is, are we providing value and clarity to them? And that's a different metric to measure, but it's something we're focused on. One of our obvious goals are to promulgate the acquisition visibility data matrix in the department. I declared earlier in this year it was going to be the year of data. Having that personal framework as a part of the framework of the department offers a point of discussion for others and where we can collaborate. If you're in, we're not going to solve all the problems in the department, but in terms of acquisition, if they know where to go to find that answer, they know what we have. We can talk about what we don't have in terms of organizational control. I believe we also need to work with, and our infrastructure providers, largely the OSD CIO, not the DoD CIO. So working with the OSD CIO, we want to be sure that he has established a framework to support our activities. We're contemplating how we're going to an app-like world in the future in terms of managing information, where technology can be provided very quickly. We also want to be sure that we're clear and transparent and work with our partners. The comptroller, the procurement organizations, they all have a myriad of data sources and data sets. How do we take what we have and work and collaborate across the other space? And finally, certainly leverage the best practices of the department. We got a lot of very good things going on in many organizations and the best practices of industry to move us forward.
Well, Mark, I want to pick up on an initiative that you mentioned earlier, and that's the Better Buying Initiative. What exactly is that?
Well, the Better Buying Power Initiative was chartered by the Undersecretary of Defense, Acquisition Technology and Logistics, originally Dr. Carter, but furthered by Mr. Kendall, in terms of improving the department's decision-making, processes, and people. It's a far-ranging document in terms of how and specifically what he would like to approve in the department and as a part of the decision-making. We have a bit, a small portion of that, and we're focused generally on the data which supports those initiatives. So in reviewing the Better Buying Power 2.0, we looked for what were the key points of data that we don't have that we may need to pursue. Measuring affordability targets, measuring different aspects of operations and sustainment cost. We knew we didn't have strong definitions, so we moved down those perspectives to get that information and move forward to better support him through the Better Buying Power.
Hey, you bring us back to data, and there's a lot of folks out there who say there's a lot of data out there, but not much information. What's your perspective on this insight? And more importantly, for our listeners, what's the difference between data and information, and how can you take data and convert it into information to inform decisions?
I think that's a great question, and I think oftentimes we use the information synonymously. And while it appears interchangeable, I think there's different values for that. Data does not necessarily equal information. So in thinking about that over the past few years, data may or may not capture a fact. Generally, it is much more fact-based. Information is always based upon context, analysis, judgment, calculations. There are key tenets that information, because that's the where the decision maker works, is with information. Data in and of itself may not solve the problem. And depending on the context of the data, the analysis of the data, the judgment of the data, or the calculation of the data, I think he needs to know both. I believe the department has taken definitive steps under Mr. Kendall's stewardship. One, by having strong data management. Two, insisting that his staff use that data as they form their analysis and judgments. And finally, using that data and that information that his analysts and advisors provide him as a basis of his decision making. I think there are key facets here. We're at a better point today of understanding the difference between data and information. We will need to continue down that path of understanding what those both concepts mean.
Well, Mark, there's an explosion in mobile technology and the use of smartphones, and you referenced earlier the term apps. I was wondering, how are you folks leveraging the power of such platforms to deliver on your mission? And do you have plans to adapt an app-like thinking for data management?
Oh, absolutely. That's the number one of having an app-like thinking of data management. We've done a few pilots. As I said, working with the OSDCIO, our goal is to have a fluid architecture that can adapt as we bring applications or apps into the marketplace. We learned in data management that we could go off and pilot and solve solutions in 2 and 3 weeks using open source data, using data we have in-house, but we didn't have a framework that we could have a landing pad for it in a production environment. We're working now with the OSDCIO to figure out what is our glide path to that. And if I ever get invited back here in 2 or 3 years, I'd like to say that was up and running and that we've created an app mentality. We think about it very much, and it's a term that's not used much in our space, but from a customer's perspective, what information do you need to do your job? Can we better articulate, can we better understand and become, frankly, data scientists to understand how best to fulfill those needs without a long, expensive journey to get there? And I think apps hold a fair bit of promise for us. And It doesn't matter if we have a different app than someone else. They're usually low-cost provisioned items that can be readily deployed and readily taken down.
You just mentioned the thing that's front and center is the data is interesting, but you really need to tailor it to the customer's needs. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep your end users' or customers' requirements front and center in your efforts?
Constantly engage with the customer. If you know my background, I came from a retail background and a land a long time ago. It's understanding what the customers are, and the customers are always our first. And our paradigm of trying to understand what they're trying to achieve and being active listeners always make them the most important. And we have no delusions of our own importance. It's the customer's importance of what they do and their success. So in that regard, we listen very actively to keep our customers front and center. We are also transparent of what one customer said to other customers. Here's what they were trying to achieve. Here's what they wanted to see. Here's what data they're using to see that. Does that help you? No. Do you need something else? Were you trying to achieve something else? So we can get a lot of reuse. We can create a lot of alignment along our customers, because in many cases, every customer is unique, but every customer is also the same. And there are different decision points, and we're not venturing too far. We know which ones we have under control. There are other decisions that are extremely complex and extremely technically deep that are sometimes best left outside of the central norm.
What does the future hold for DoD's acquisition enterprise information? We will ask its Deputy Director, Mark Crisco, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.